everyone. This is Steve Donahue with another episode of Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. Today's episode is episode 37, and what we're going to talk about today is filling your spouse's love bank. It's been a while since I did a show on marriage and strengthening your marriage, and of course, having a strong marriage is essential to building a family legacy because, of course, it exemplifies to the children what marriage is to be like, and it also enables you to have the kind of environment in your home that will pass on a legacy for generations to come. And so it's important that we continue to look at how we can strengthen our marriages. And so today's episode is going to be talking about that, and we're going to look at some of the essential desires that husbands and wives have and ways that we can work to fulfill those. So hopefully that will be a good show for you. But before we do that, I want to direct you to some of the news and updates. First of all, if you haven't registered yet as a user of the legacypodcast.com, then I encourage you to do that. You can do that on the right side column of the website. There's a place there where it says register or log in if you've already registered. And I would encourage you to do that. That way you can be updated when there's new posts that come out, as well as any additional information. It gives me your email address so that I can email you for any special benefits or anything like that that might come out, or any news items that are newsworthy. Obviously, I'm not going to, you know, spam you every day with any information. That would be counterproductive for me and for you, so I certainly won't do that, but it will allow us to grow the community that way, so I encourage you to do that. You can also give feedback, and I would really appreciate you if you gave me some feedback. You can do that on the left margin. There's a place there where it says contact me. You can put in some information there. You can also give me some feedback through my email, which is steve@thelegacypodcast.com. You can also provide feedback through the various comments at each of the episodes. I think you need to be a registered user to be able to do that, but nonetheless, you can provide comments there. And also, you can provide comments through iTunes or whatever other form you use to download this. And so I would appreciate those comments. And then also, any support you might be able to give to the show, that would be greatly appreciated as well. You can give support by liking us on Facebook and Twitter and telling your friends about us, and that way we can continue to grow the community, and that will be of great benefit to you and to me. And then also, if you really like the show, consider becoming a Legacy Partner. This is a premium membership program that allows you access to exclusive members-only pages, and on that there's $50 worth of value in there. You can go on the website and look and see all that's included in there, but one of the things that's on there is the discount to the Grove Edge, which is an online mapping program that allows you to map out your garden and plant it out based upon spacing and type of plant and those kinds of things. It's a very helpful program. And so that, as well as being able to support the show at less than 25 cents an episode. So I encourage you to take a look at that. And that just about takes care of the news and updates for today. So let's go ahead and talk about building marriages by filling one another's love bank. Now, the idea of a love bank came from Willard Harley, and I'm going to refer to his book on a number of occasions, but his book is called Fall in Love and Stay in Love, and he coined the idea of a love bank, the idea that we have in us certain desires that need to be met in a marriage for us to have a fulfilling marriage, and if we don't have those filled, it's like we have more debits from our account than we actually have credits, and so eventually we will go bankrupt in a relational sense in our marriage. And so it's important that we fill one another's love tanks in that regard. And some of what the material I'm going to cover today obviously is coming from him, but some of it is also coming from Gary Chapman's book, The Five Love Languages. Of course, I'll have a link to both of these on the show in the show notes, but I have worked to combine both of those ideas in this episode to present you with 10 ways in which you can build the love bank in your spouse. And these really, what they are, is they are 10 areas that I believe almost everybody on the planet has a desire to see filled. Now, sometimes there is areas that are of more concern to one than they are to another, and it's our responsibility as spouses to find out what it is that our spouse needs to feel loved, and then to provide that for them. And so you obviously are not going to be, you're not going to feel love in the same way as your spouse does. And so it's important for you to understand what theirs is. And so these are the 10 areas in which we can focus. First of all is the desire for affection. Now, those who have a desire for affection are those people who have a desire to hear words of affirmation. The old saying is that that actions speak louder than words. Well, not for people like this. Actually, the words speak louder than the actions often. And yet, sometimes the actions are also important. But compliments, hearing words like, I love you, and I love the way that you do such and such, or that kind of thing are really words of affection that can build up one's love tank if their desire is for affection. Obviously, in contrast to that would be insults. If you even in a jokingly way insult your spouse and make a comment negative about who they are or what they are or your lack of desire for them or affection or whatever it is, that will go right to their heart, and it will remove credits from the love bank. And then also along with this, a desire for affection is to be treated courteously. In other words, this might be for a woman having the door held open for them, something like that. Just showing kindness, general courtesy and kindness, gentlemanness, that kind of thing. And there are particular desires that people have for that. And then non-sexual physical touch. This would include all kinds of touch, hugs, pats, holding hands, arms around the shoulder, touches on the face. These kinds of things are ways of showing affection towards one another. And there are people who just have a real desire, a real longing to be touched and felt and held and have a need for that. And if our spouse has that need and we are not fulfilling that need, then they are going to be seeking it. And their love tank is not going to be full. And then also along with this desire for affection is admiration, showing respect to one's opinions and the person, who they are, praising them, recognizing them for their accomplishments, those kinds of things. Those are all fall under the heading of a desire for affection. And then secondly would be a desire for communication. Along with the desire for communication is a desire to be open and honest in discussing matters, sharing hopes and dreams, sharing feelings, sharing daily activities, emotional intimacy. In other words, the people that have a real desire to have communication or a desire for communication within the marriage. Now, obviously, every marriage should have some communication, and should, the better the communication, the better the marriage will be. But there are some people who just have a real desire to connect in verbal ways with their husband or with their wife. And usually this is a wife to the husband, but usually when I say that, there are always a few exceptions. And so the desire to communicate and to express feelings and emotions with one another and talk about those things. And so somebody who has a need to communicate is going to be very put off when their husband or their wife is holds in their feelings, doesn't talk about issues, and on the contrary, they will feel very close to the person when they start expressing emotional feelings and situations that cause them to be angry, or situations that cause them to be hurt, or these kinds of things, and talking through all these various kinds of emotions. And there are some people who just really crave that and that kind of communication. The third, and by the way, these are all in alphabetical order. They're not in any kind of order as to, importance or anything like that. That's really to you and your spouse to decide the importance of each of these, but they're in alphabetical order. The third would be the desire for domestic support. And what I mean by this is that there are certain needs in a home. There are needs for cooking, there are needs for cleaning, there are needs for washing dishes and washing clothes, and all these kinds of things are various needs, and somebody needs to provide for those. Somebody needs to take care of those things, and usually there is a need in a man for this to be the case with his wife. And so this is often gender related, but it doesn't have to be. Sometimes it's the other way around. But making the house a home, a place of refuge, would fall under this. Caring for the children, cooking meals, washing dishes, ironing clothes, house cleaning, those kinds of things. And, you know, a desire to be domestically supported is one area that many feel. Now, along with that, and I want to include in that, is that sometimes, and I'm just going to use gender specifics here, but oftentimes it's the husband who needs this kind of support from his wife. But on the other hand, a lot of times the way in which the wife feels like she also needs that kind of support is when the husband can pick up some of the slack sometimes. Maybe when the dishes are overwhelming, he can help with those dishes. And, you know, it's a wise man and it's a good man, a good husband, who is able to see the need to help in those areas and to help. And so it doesn't necessarily mean that they have a desire for that, but rather that they are seeing that need in their wife and willing to help out in that regard. And so, you know, vacuuming the floor if it needs to be done, doing the dishes, cleaning the bathrooms, cooking a special meal. One of the sweetest sounding phrases for somebody who appreciates acts of service is, "Let me do that for you." And, you know, laziness, broken commitments, making more work, you know, dirtying extra clothes, not cleaning up after yourself, all these kinds of things will really frustrate somebody who has a desire for domestic support and that domestic support is not coming through, or someone who has a desire for acts of service with relationship to domestic support. And so that's an area that is a desperate need for many. And if it's not fulfilled, then there will be a longing and there will be a desire and there will be an emptiness in one's love tank. So number four, then, is a desire for family support. Now, this is similar, of course, to domestic support, although it is more focused intently on children and the family. And someone who has a desire for this is somebody who wants to be able to see their spouse spend time with their children, reading books or giving them bath at night. Someone who desires to see them involved in the disciplining and the training and the education of the children. Someone who is able to come alongside the kids and work through some of their situations, or even just take the, you know, the various responsibilities of everyday chores with the children and work through them with them. And so that's someone who has a desire for family support. And then number five is the desire for financial support. Obviously, there are needs in the family that require money. And unless somebody is stepping up to provide that financial resource, there is going to be a breakdown in that family. And often, just as there was a gender-specific situation when it came to domestic support, the same thing is true when it comes to financial support, only it's on the other gender. Oftentimes, this is the responsibility of the husband to provide for his family. And in fact, the scriptures tell us that if a man does not provide for his own house, he is worse than an unbeliever. And so many women have a real desire to see their husbands provide financial support. And this does not necessarily mean that they are to be, you know, to be able to receive whatever they want, but rather that it is to provide sufficiently for the needs of the household. And that is a great need and can be obtained. And if it's not obtained, of course, just like with all the other ones, it will cause a great deal of stress within the home. And then the sixth, the desire for physical attractiveness. Willard Harley talks about this in his book, and I don't know how strong this is for many, and certainly there are issues when it comes to this from a Christian perspective, but some people do have a desire to see their spouses in a physically attractive state. Now, what I mean by that is that there are some people who find a great deal of satisfaction in knowing that their spouse is in good shape, or, you know, physically fit, or looks attractive to them, hair designed the way that they want. And, you know, sometimes this is even to the extent of wearing certain clothes. And you know, I have heard of situations where a husband wants the wife to wear certain kinds of clothes, or the wife wants the husband to wear certain kinds of clothes. And, you know, these things would fall under this category of physical attractiveness and being appealing in that regard to the husband or to the wife. And, you know, even things like this, which seem somewhat small to some, are big issues to others when it comes to being attractive to your mate. And so if this is something that your husband or something that your wife needs, then, you know, take the effort to fulfill it and to put credits into the love bank in that regard. And then number seven is a desire for sexual fulfillment. And there are really a couple of aspects when it comes to this. Of course, this is speaking about physical intimacy, but there is both quality and quantity that comes about when we talk about sexual fulfillment. And someone who has this real desire in the marriage, and, you know, sometimes this goes both ways. Sometimes it's more one-sided than others. And typically, again, this is a gender thing, although it's not always the case. Typically, generally, you know, the men typically have this as a desire more than the women do, but sometimes it's reversed. And so what is included in this is a desire to be fulfilled in the sense of having mutually satisfying relationships with each other that are exciting and pleasurable and that are satisfying. I don't know really how else to explain it. And so there's the quality aspect of it, but there's also the quantity aspect of it. And that is frequently enough to be satisfying. And sometimes, you know, there one of the, it's not surprising that one of the biggest issues that is brought up when there is problems in a marriage is the dealing with the sexual relationships between a husband and a wife. And often it revolves around issues of desire and unfulfilled desire. And so, you know, this is a serious one for many, and yet it can be accomplished. And, you know, the credits can be put into the love bank that will be able to strengthen the marriage and support the marriage. And then number eight is the desire for spiritual leadership. And what is meant by this is that there is a desire within, usually within the wife, but sometimes vice versa. Usually within the wife, though, there is a desire for her spouse to be a man of prayer, someone who is able to pray for the family and intercede for the family and lead the family in prayer, someone who is able to ensure that they're going to church and that they're, you know, a part of a church and evaluating that, and someone who is able to teach the kids the Bible and you know, making Bible-based decisions, these kinds of things. This is a desire of many in their spouse. And so it's a responsibility for those of us who have wives or who have husbands that have this desire that situation arises. And, you know, men should be leaders spiritually anyway, even if the desire is not there for the wife. This is called a responsibility by husbands or for husbands in the Bible. And so this is something that we should pursue regardless. But certainly if it is something that our wives really have a need for, a real desire for, maybe it's because they can't, they don't see themselves doing it themselves, or maybe because they feel really uncomfortable doing it, or some other reason. It's the responsibility then of the spouse to pick up the slack on this case. Number nine then is the desire for time together. In other words, doing things together. There are many in marriages who get married in many cases because They want a friend. They want companionship. They want somebody that they can do things with. And of course, when you're dating, you go on all kinds of fun activities together and do all kinds of exciting things together. And you know, there's some satisfaction in that. And there are a lot of people who enjoy just getting along and being alone with their spouse and doing activities together. And I talked about this. And by the way, if you have not listened to episode 5, I believe it is, which is on having the best marriage, and BEST is an acronym for blessed, edifying, sharing, and touching. And those are qualities that need to be in every marriage. And the sharing together there would be a real emphasis on somebody who has a desire for time together, doing things together, recreational companionship, and someone who has this desire wants undivided attention. The worst thing you can do with somebody who has this as one of their desires is to be out with them on a date and to be looking at something on your cell phone while they're trying to talk to you. That will take massive credits from the love tank and will deplete it in a hurry. And so, you know, distractions should be at a very minimum, if they're at all. And then number 10 is the desire for unexpected surprises. I've included in this category what the 5 love languages Chapman includes as receiving gifts. But there's more to it than that, I think. But certainly receiving gifts is part of it. You know, there are some people who just like to receive gifts, like to receive the unexpected gift, maybe the rose when the husband comes home, or maybe the unexpected gift of a special meal that's made, something like that. You know, a missed birthday or an anniversary or hasty, thoughtless gift. These things are tragedy for somebody who is interested in unexpected surprises. On the other hand, somebody who is able to know their spouse has a desire for unexpected surprises can fulfill it by just being spontaneous in many occasions and doing surprising things for them. And, you know, surprising dates would be something that you could do. And, you know, when you're married, you should be dating anyway, but certainly this way you could make it special by making it a surprise, not letting them know, and just coming home early and getting them. And some people don't like surprises. My wife's one of those. She really doesn't want a surprise. She wants to know everything that's going on and you know, be involved in the decisions in that regard. So this would not be one of her love languages, but some people do have this as a desire, and so it can be fulfilled. And then, of course, adventuresome attitude. Some people who have this desire are also those who are adventuresome in their attitude and want to try new things and go new places and experience new things. And they're always open to that, and that's exciting to them. And so those are the 10 different ways in which people feel love and express love and the desires that they have for fulfillment within a marriage. So the problem, though, is that everyone has some desires for all of these to some extent. And I mentioned this earlier that, you know, every single one of these probably are something that you desire in your spouse, and yet there are some that really stand out as of greater importance than some of the other ones. Now, we tend to love how we want to be loved. And so if we have a desire for affection, then we tend to show a lot of affection to our spouse. But that may not be how they want to be loved. And so we have this tendency to love as we want to be loved rather than to love as they want to be loved. And that's what true love is when we cannot love others how we want to be loved, but rather how they want to be loved. And this is not contrary, of course, to the golden rule, but in fact is actually a fulfillment of the golden rule. And so the third area that is a challenge, just as I, you know, the first one is that, you know, everyone has a desire for some of these to some extent. And so to be able to fulfill all of these is impossible, and yet it should be a goal of us. The second one is that we tend to love how we want to be loved. The third one is that we don't really know what the other person wants or needs or desires because we haven't taken the time to learn. We haven't taken the time to study. We haven't taken time to ask. We haven't taken time to consider. And so we have neglected the responsibility it is to know our wives, or for the wives to know their husbands, and to know what particular needs that they have, what particular desires they have to be fulfilled. And so it's important for us to do that. And then finally, we're selfish and we don't really want to give we only want to receive. That's, of course, the worst situation you can come into in a marriage when there is only a desire to receive rather than to give. And so those are the problems that are associated with this. So what do we do? I want to give some solutions so that we can work towards using these 10 areas in such a way that we can build strong, healthy marriages that will take the test of time. You know, my wife was just telling me the other day about another friend of hers that she found out was going to be getting a divorce again. And so my wife and I, when we were going for a walk, we talked about the tragedy that is occurring so often in families where they're breaking up and, you know, families are being split apart. Kids are having to deal with the consequences of that. And in many cases, this can be prevented if love tanks are filled. So what are we to do? Well, number one, find out from your spouse what his or her top three or four desires are. Go over this list. I'm going to post them, of course, on the show notes. You can take them and, you know, don't need anything special. If you go to Willard's site, you can take a, you know, quiz that will walk you through it. The Five Love Languages also has similar quizzes. You can go on each of their websites and you can do those. You can take just the show notes here that I have combined some of them and talk about them with your spouse. Find out, you know, have them rank in order 1 to 10. What is the most important? What is the least important of these various ways of expressing and feeling love? And then talk about them. And then communicate what your top three or four are. Do the same thing with you so that they will know what your desires are. And talk about those. And then make a commitment to work at achieving the top three or four. And, you know, it can be helpful sometimes, although it can also be discouraging, especially if you're one of those who likes the words of affirmation, to get together with your spouse ever so often and talk about how you're doing in terms of meeting these desires and keeping the love bank filled up. Now, obviously, if you're not doing a very good job and you are one who desires the words of affirmation, it may not be very good to go and talk with your spouse about this because you're likely to be hurt from that. Nevertheless, it's important to make the commitment to work at achieving the top three or four of these desires in your spouse. And of course, once you've mastered the top three or four, which may take an entire lifetime, but once you've mastered those, then you can start moving on to five and six and seven, and so forth, to where all of the desires are met. And this should be our goal, is to achieve a fulfilling marriage by building up the love tank of our spouse. And then the last thing I want to encourage you to do is to seek to be filled with God's love so that you will have more than you need to give to your spouse. See, one of the challenges we come into is that we are a needy people. It'd be great if we entered into marriage with the sole thought of being able to give, 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 and never to receive. But that's not the way it works. In fact, oftentimes we enter into marriage not so much to give, but so that we might be able to receive. And certainly giving is a part of it, but we don't enter in only to give. And so we have to find some way of being filled up ourselves, even if our spouse can't fill us up. Because if we are going to be only responding rightly when we are filled up, then we will never be responding rightly, or very rarely will be doing that. And so we have to find a way of being able to be filled up so that we can then pour out ourselves upon somebody else. And the only way that we can do that really is by dwelling in the love of God and allowing the love of God to fill us such to the extent that we are able to overflow with His love upon others, and particularly upon our spouse. And so this is, you know, this hits hard the concept of a spiritual relationship, a relationship with God, whereby we can gain the access, we can gain the resources, we can gain the strength and the courage and the discipline and the affection and the emotions, or whatever it is that we need to have to be able to fulfill the desires that our spouse has and to be able to meet those needs. And God has called us together so that we might be able to do that, so that we might be able to be a meter of needs, and that we might be able to build up our spouses, that we might be able to exemplify all that the Lord has done for us in our relationship with our spouse. And so those are some 10 different ways in which we can express love, 10 different desires that people have for love, and then some problems with them, and then some solutions. And again, let me go back over those solutions again. Find out from your spouse what their top three or four are, and then you communicate your top three or four, make a commitment to work at achieving those three and four, and then seek to be filled by God so that you will have the power and the ability and the desire to pour yourself out and to fulfill the desires of your spouse. Well, I hope that helps. And with that, this has been Steve Donahue with the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. Go make your marriage strong. Build yourself a legacy. Only for the cause of Christ, I want to leave a legacy of a servant who believed that the world would still be changed by just one.